Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback to pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh. Give me a break.
You know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
It's Mike Shope.
Quarterback? No! Ken O'Brien of California Davis.
Everybody said if Marino was going to be around at that time, they'd take Marino. Obviously, the Jets know something that, you know, the people up here don't.
And the Bulldogs.
Tim Tebow is going to be a Denver Bronco and a first round.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome to Draft Day. We finally made it. I've needed it. Just came to me like a half an hour ago, so it's perfectly timed. It took me this whole period of weeks and months talking and analyzing over and over every idea to pinpoint what it is the Bills need most. I finally got it. Ready? Are you sitting down?
I'm going to stand up and then
sit back down.
Now I'm sitting. Yeah, this makes it feel more important.
You know, you think about the offseason so far, what's changed to their team? They need a locker room cancer. Don't they? They don't have that right now. If you look at the teams that are at the top of the heap, Kansas City, I mean, not everybody would have said this, but Travis Kelce, once Taylor Swift started showing up and distracting everybody.
Oh, big problems.
That didn't work.
How could they overcome it?
San Francisco, I've got Brandon Ayuk asking for a trade. Last year I had Deebo Samuel asking for a trade. How are they going to keep that together?
That was just last year.
I think.
Man.
And they had a quarterback controversy.
These years just all blur together.
As well. A.J. Brown has to be a cancer in the locker room at this point. We see him yelling on the sidelines.
Well, then why
Who's
did,
next?
Then
Stephon
why,
Diggs.
Then why did the Bills trade Diggs?
They didn't understand. They
the
don't
key.
Understand.
They missed it.
That you need some
They're
conflict.
Just playing checkers. All these other teams are playing chess.
They got to get a new cancer in the locker room today.
Okay, well, let me see.
There it is.
Can I Google who's the biggest jerk in the draft?
Who's got the biggest ego?
Can I find that out?
Who has the biggest ego? Who has said the most times how badly they need the ball? This is the guy we want. I actually don't know who that would be.
Yeah,
I don't know enough from watching college football to tell you, like, who's the guy. I don't take Marvin Harrison Jr. to be this way. That's, like, all demonstrative so that fans can take that to mean they're not that competitive, don't really want to win, and basically go around yelling at their teammates all the time and being miserable.
Wow, that was a lot. You know, it sort of struck me through all this. I mean, I haven't thought for a second that the Bills would ever have any shot at Marvin Harrison Jr. And because of that, Like, I know his measurables and stuff, and I know where he played. He might be the guy in this draft, at least of the guys that are being talked about, that I've watched the least of the last few months. Because I just haven't felt like there was any, you know, for work purposes, you know, I mean, recreationally, if you like to just sit around and watch YouTube videos of guys catching the football, you know, more power to you. For me, that falls under work. And, you know, so there's a limit to how much of that I'm going to do. And I just sort of edited Marvin Harrison Jr. out of my stream of consciousness. Like, it's just like, there's no point. I mean, I know he's excellent. I believe it. But I'm not studying him because there's almost no chance he's going to end up on the Bills.
Almost no chance. Ian Harditz did come along today with a mock draft where the Bills trade for him.
Okay.
And Christian Kirk and Rashid Shaheed and two other wide receivers.
Oh, okay.
In the league.
I did see this. Yeah, right. They just used all their assets on NFL players except Marvin Harrison Jr.
They traded Tyler Bass in the deal for Christian Kirk. I thought that was especially creative for me.
That was smart, yeah.
It was good.
That was a really good deal.
So even after that, didn't dive into Harrison?
I saw on the internet where the Bills got they got Christian Kirk for Tyler Bass. They should do, what is Bean doing?
Well, he's probably working on that.
Get on it.
He's probably working on that exact deal right
Get
now.
Get busy, brother.
How did they trade? This is the PFF mock draft tool. Have you used that one? I haven't. They traded 28. Next year's 1 and 2 for pick 4. Would that actually work?
No.
I have written off this Harrison idea.
That is not enough to get to 4. That's not. I don't even think that's enough to get to 6.
Yeah.
That's the Bears trade. That's 1-2, 1-4 is what I have thought would be like equal value. You know, could always, of course, it fluctuates, but that would get you to 9, I think. That's not getting you to 4, I can't imagine. Although I guess maybe it worked on the machine, so, you know, good. Maybe the Bears are using the machine, the PFF machine. Maybe the Bills can get great value there.
Maybe they're a team like the Bills maybe used to be where you would say they should use a machine.
Right.
Enough with your ideas. You're terrible, always. I mean, the Bears, if they don't get it right from here, for all their miserable seasons, and they were not even, like, the worst team in the league to get the number one overall pick, but they just lucked out that Carolina was the worst team in the league, so here's a free first overall. And they already traded for DJ Moore. Then they basically, if you're willing to pay the money and put up with the injury risk because of age, here's Keenan Allen for a fourth, that was. And then they have the 9th pick, which I don't know. Maybe they will use that on
Roma Dunze, or maybe they'll turn it three, four, five assets.
Or another starter somewhere else, like a defensive player.
Yeah.
Some teams would do that.
Some.
The Bears would do that. Wouldn't they, usually? Wouldn't the Bears?
Draft a guard.
Trading for?
Draft a guard.
Roquan
9.
Smith. That's a increasingly popular idea, it seems, today, is
guard?
Offensive line. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
all right.
It might be a better first round for offensive line than receiver, right? You know?
The tackles are sought after. Yeah. I hope that's right.
I hope
in, like, the top 25 of the draft that offensive tackles just are flying everywhere. Give me 10 of them and give me 6 quarterbacks and, like, well, let's go. I'll fill in the rest with a couple of corners and some edge rushers. And, you know, you want a scenario where the Bills get their hands on the 4th best receiver? That's it. Like, everybody else goes shopping for other things.
That really is the question right now, I think, about this. And we welcome your calls at 803-0550. We've got Ryan Fowler with his draft day latest thoughts coming up, and Sal Capaccio as well later, as we're with you until 7 tonight. That really is, I think, the ball game for Brandon Bean and everybody to figure out, is how many of these teams in the middle, right, are going to go receiver when they might need linemen just as much, when the quality of the linemen might be just as good, and the depth at offensive line is not as good. So round 2 is not as easily an option for you to get a starting guard or tackle as maybe a starting receiver would be. And that is the logic that opens things up for the Bills to get Brian Thomas or A.D. Mitchell, if that's who they want. Those are, like, the consensus.
Without having to
4
move.
Or 5. Yeah. Without having to move, or at least move much. But it isn't that different, as I see it, from last year, where if you want a top receiver, last year didn't have the guys going in the top 10. But apart from them, if you want a top receiver, you've got to jump the line. And you just don't know. I think it's harder this year to know how far you have to jump, right? I mean, just what – that's what is maybe the hardest thing about all this, is trying to figure out what Indianapolis will do, what Jacksonville and Cincinnati and Dallas will do with their picks. Because if they want – if they get the wide receiver thirst, if they have the whole resurgence party big board vibe – then, I mean, what happens to the Bills? Like, they have to predict that before it happens. Or before, maybe not before it starts.
Right.
But before it's over.
As it's happening, yeah. I mean, before those teams pick. I mean, you got to figure it out. And you got to figure out, be ready in case somebody that's behind you or even just ahead of you but is trying to get up where you're trying to get. Like, if you're trying to get to 20. Just say, I mean, I don't know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the market for a receiver too, of course. So them trading with you maybe is the Rams at 19. Let's just settle on that. That's your target, and you're hopeful, and it's falling. It looks good, but then you got to worry about somebody behind you, you know, or you know, who knows? Any other team in here, Dallas, that could be looking for a receiver in front of you that maybe they like your guy too, and they're going to, you know, so yeah, it's going to be. It feels like, I mean, you could maybe say this every year, but it feels like the most jockeying for a position maybe we've ever seen in a first round is going to happen tonight. I mean, you're hearing people talk about 10 trades in this first round, which is
I don't know
crazy.
Whether to believe it, though.
I know, but I'm buying the hype because it's the day and it's here and it's, I don't know what's going to happen. Like we're talking, there's a lot of different ways it could go right around where, you know, the sweet spot is for Brian Thomas Jr. anyway.
There haven't been any yet. I read of two teams reportedly wanting to trade up, the Rams and the Eagles, but no trades yet. The over-under I read yesterday for trades in the first round was 5.5. So if you get 6, I believe that's more.
That cashes.
5.5.
Yeah.
So what do you think is likeliest then in the middle? I don't know how much attention you're paying to those teams I mentioned or other teams around them, even the Rams. Like you've got the three receivers everybody believes will go, I mean, not necessarily in the top 10, but probably or maybe like one of them perhaps slips and that could even be interesting here. Maybe you get that opportunity. Yep. Maybe you see that's probably where we should start. The odds of any of those three receivers making it, well, you like 9 as an idea, so even to 9.
Yeah, I think 9, I would bet if I could, the three receivers going in the top 10. Because I think, you know, whether or not it goes in the order that has been most predicted, which is Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Odunze, or if, you know, there's a flip somewhere in there with 2 and 3, I think if the Bears don't take Odunze at 9, yes, they could do something else. They have, you know, whatever. They've got a nice pick there, and they could get a really good starting player. They can also get paid in a year where they only have 4 picks in this draft, and they're kind of starting over. Not the whole roster, like you said already. They're not the last place team with the first pick. They were, you know, a middle-of-the-pack team, but they have the pick. So they're not starting from scratch, but still, only 4 assets going into the weekend. They look like a target to me. And if the Bills can't get there because they're coming from too far and the Bears are like, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's nice that you're offering me all this stuff, but 28's too far. I don't want to go all the way down to 28. So maybe Indianapolis really likes the idea of Odunze or Jacksonville or Cincinnati.
Very possible.
Like all the those teams there, I think someone will go up and get Odunze if the Bears don't want him. And I think they'd be nuts not to auction that pick off because of it. So I would bet on that happening. Doesn't have to happen. I think if Odunze doesn't go there and somebody doesn't trade up for that pick, then Brandon Bean is just going to be like calling everyone he's already called to try to figure out a way to go get him and make that happen.
So interesting. So if, I mean, you could just You can talk all day. It's what we're going to do.
Yes. With some breaks in between.
Trade down candidates, maybe New England at three for a quarterback team like the Vikings. I think the Chargers at five should be one. Offensive tackle is pretty evenly split there. Know what you don't know. Get a receiver later. The Chargers are, for me, it's very obvious to me what they should do. But who knows? That is often, I'm often unfulfilled when it comes to this in the NFL, in sports. This is what you should do. And then, oh, no, they didn't. Right or wrong. Tennessee and Atlanta at 7 and 8. Both could be trade down teams. Lots of needs. Atlanta probably not in the receiver game this year. Edge guys, you know, you have a few to pick from. Like I said, offensive tackle, you have a few to pick from. So if those teams aren't just so like hell-bent on one player, then those are good trade-down teams, I think, at 7 and 8, especially Atlanta. And then you get, once you get past the Jets, Bowers is one idea for the Jets, also a tackle.
Yeah, so, offensive line would make a lot of sense there, too.
Right. Then you get into the teams for now that may or may not be looking at quarterback 11, 12, and 13. And if they are, they're not trading with you. Like, if the Raiders want to draft Michael Penix, then they're going to, if they can't trade up and do it. Like, they're not going to trade down. So those teams there, if they're indeed quarterback teams, Denver at 12 is a team that I would say especially should trade down. They don't have a second. And, you know, if they want Bo Nix,
they can probably maybe get Bo Nix at 28.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Or you know, anywhere down there. Yeah, I might say the same thing about the Raiders with Penix, but, you know, they may force it. Like, one of my favorite ideas for today is that Penix, not only in the first round, but maybe up there, maybe at 13. It seems like there's, you know, whatever. It seems like everything is true and everything is false because he's being shoveled just so much information. But it just feels like the idea of Penix being a first-round quarterback has gotten a lot of traction this week to me. It feels like there's more and more buzz about the Raiders just doing it at 13.
And you're buying it.
Yes, I am.
Because I'm not.
Because I like the player so much. That's why I'm buying it. I'm not as skeptical about it being a smokescreen because it makes sense. Like, that's a player that I'm sort of rooting for. And if they like him, you know, and they do it there, I guess. So, it works with my methodology. It fits.
I like it for the Raiders because they, you know, need a quarterback. And he's like a big-time throw quarterback. That's sort of the Raider mythology. It's probably a terrible idea, so it's also sort of a Raiders fit.
Right, right.
And, yeah. So maybe we'll get that tonight. I heard Davis Maddox say he's had four different season-ending injuries in college, Penix.
But none in the last 2 years. Like, he's been healthy since he left Indiana.
Okay.
That's a part of his story. But yeah, he's old. Well, old.
Yeah.
Right? He's old. Older. For the draft, he's old. And yeah, he's had big injuries in the past. But again, 2 years in a row, played them all.
So then you get to eventually to 15, Indianapolis, which is a candidate for a receiver. And that's where, you know, if the Bills have not made a move by then, that's when it really gets it interesting, which is good because it won't be that late. By pick 15. It'll only be like 9:30, maybe 10. How late is it by 15? This is the first year in a long time where I'll be watching the draft from home. And I'm a little sad about that. Because I've had these betting games going the last few years. Yeah. And not this year. But anyway, doesn't mean anything to whether I'll be up. I'll be up.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. You could still make plans. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but
I can't make plans.
Okay, sorry.
Not going to be possible.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. Indy, I don't know. Seattle, I mean, they drafted a receiver in the first round last year. They've got Lockett still. They've got DK Metcalf. If you know, they want to move one of those guys and do something, maybe they're in the market. Jacksonville's definitely in the market. We'll see what the Bengals end up doing with T. Higgins, if anything. But even if they don't do anything with T. Higgins, grabbing a guy in this year's draft, I mean, they already lost Tyler Boyd anyway, so they could grab a guy just to have some Higgins insurance and to replace Boyd.
This is really where it's at. 15 to, you can include the Rams. Enough people are talking about receiver for the Rams for me to take that as a, you know, as realistic speculation that they want to move up. Bowers maybe is the player. Pittsburgh, I think, is offensive line. Pittsburgh is the team in the league that is the most willing to reveal who their pick is going to be. There's a lineman named Graham Barton that people think is who the Steelers will take at 20. So I would bet on that, even money, if that were possible. If you wanted to bet on that with me, I would be willing. Graham Barton to the Steelers. Then Miami's another one. If Philadelphia at 22 wants to move up, if this has already happened, where the Rams and the Eagles move up by this time, then, you know, you're hoping whoever moves down with them, if you, the Bills are wanting to trade up, that team would have to want to trade down a second time, which may be a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Then you have Minnesota, whether they make a package to move up, we'll see. That's also then in that scenario a team that will have traded down already tonight, whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas sounds lineman to me, not receiver. But they could use everything, pretty much, Dallas. Their roster has gotten kind of bad from a very good place not that long ago.
Yeah, they're having a weird offseason.
They haven't done anything.
Aren't they? Like, we're all in, and like, what is all in? Letting Prescott become a free agent after the season. They haven't got anything done with Lamb yet, have they?
No, they are intentionally staying away from new deals,
yeah.
These guys.
Sounds great. Great plan.
Great plan. Then, okay, if you make it to that point.
Then you're cruising, I think.
Then I think maybe you're home, yes. Dallas, Green, whatever you think about Dallas at 24, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Arizona, the four teams ahead of the Bills. And I don't see receiver, unless Arizona has moved and not taken Harrison.
Right.
Like, they might have a night where they haven't picked a receiver yet by 27, but I wouldn't bet on that.
Right, and we're going to know that in the first.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app. Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Half hour of the draft or so. So
yes. And you know, teams could move up. Which you knew already.
Yeah. And teams, you know.
Ahead of the Bills.
If you're hearing, I heard, I'm listening to Brownie and Tasker on the way in like I usually do on One Bills Live. And someone today that they're quoting, I forget which draft reporter it was. Like the second round run on receivers, like from 33 to 45 or something. Like there's a sweet spot in there, and so if it gets busy here as you're going into the 20s and you're already to the fifth receiver being the best guy available, or even more than that, who knows? somebody from behind there that's waiting in what is thought to be a day two sweet spot might get like, oh, I got to go get my guy. I thought I'd be able to get Ricky Pearsall early Friday, but, you know, there's already six receivers chosen and these other teams are, I better go. So that could happen too. Like you could, you know, if teams are thinking they're in a great spot sitting where they are on Friday, but the board starts coming apart on them, they might move.
Yep, and of course, it's a lot of the same teams we have at the beginning.
Right.
Carolina, with two picks in there, could definitely go receiver with at least one of those. New England, if it doesn't take a receiver at three, would easily be a candidate. They have nothing at that position. You have Arizona again, but maybe they've already addressed it. The Chargers in there, too. Tennessee could, I think they would have other priorities, but if they accomplish that in round one, really, like, they're old at receiver. I don't know if Burks is going to make it. You have Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, and the list goes on. Anything is possible here, pretty much. What are you hoping for, and what would you hate? Why not? Why not ask that provocative question? 803-0550 for your calls. Guests at 4 and 5. We'll be here until 7. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for joining us here on Draft Day. This is WGR.
I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. They're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, mm-hmm. Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know, like, most of the install, because Coach Dable came from Alabama and Coach Gaddis came to Michigan from Alabama. So it's similar mm-hmm. formations, motions, plays, all that stuff. So being able to get that install in has been great. You know, I met with them twice. It's been amazing.
J.J. McCarthy, are you in?
Oh, no, I'm out. I'm way out on J.J. McCarthy.
Didn't you listen to how excellent he does in interviews?
Sounds great. I
hope all the names of the coaches, knew their background.
Yep.
You got Deontay Johnson over here who said he went to dinner with the head coach of the Panthers recently and didn't know he was the head coach.
That's a nice look. I guess that you can get away with that when you already have a contract. You're already an established NFL player. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know the hierarchy or even really who you are.
That had to feel good when you heard that at Deontay Johnson's press conference.
Yeah.
That he didn't know you were the head coach.
Who was that dude? Yeah. No, McCarthy, I hope the Patriots take him. And, you know, I hope I'm right that I'm out on him for good reason. I mean, who knows? He could be great. But the traits, I don't think, are great. And from the minute Harbaugh, you know, when the season ended and just started talking him up as he went to the Chargers leaving Michigan, I just thought coaches are just going to eat this guy up because he's yes sir, no sir, weight room. Like he's, you know, he just checks all the boxes for the guy you want to lead your team. But I'm not sure how good a thrower of the football he is.
Does that matter, though, anymore?
So I'd be a little worried.
Haven't
about
you heard
that.
About the too high safety trend? Does it really matter if he can throw it far?
I need to draft a game manager at 3. Great. Good luck with that.
Game manager is harsh, but it is a little different now. Like, this is really a Bo Nix point, maybe. That Bo Nix threw just, he had the best completion percentage numbers because he was throwing screens all the time.
Right.
Everything he was throwing at, I believe, 11 different schools in the course of his
17-year college career
was short. So, you know, Denver is the one team that everybody sort of likes for him, and you can imagine it. That point sort of fits with what
Drew Brees, yeah, Sean Payton, like that, yeah. That maybe there's a fit there, and maybe that works. I don't know. I'm not crazy about him. Obviously Caleb Williams, I think that sounds like a great idea. I like Jaden Daniels a lot more than you do, and I like Penix. Of the quarterbacks, like the big six, I guess you include them all here. The other three, I'm not crazy about. May, Nix, nor McCarthy.
Call your shot, 803-0550. We'll be here all day. We'll talk to Ryan Fowler and Sal Capaccio throughout here, or not throughout, but in the course of the afternoon. I am for trading down out of the first round. Give me a third round pick to move down into the early second, something like that. I think is what would be best for the Bills. If you were asking me to predict what they'll do, it would not be that. But I want to think that it's possible because I think these are sharp people, and I think that makes a ton of sense. We don't know if the Bills, like how they have tiered these receivers, if it's even only about receiver, which it probably isn't, but we don't know how they have tiered them and where they think the lines are and whether they think, like a lot of other people do, that once you get past Brian Thomas or A.D. Mitchell, whoever you want, that you get to a group of players that are really just, you know, pick your flavor.
Relatively interchangeable.
And that should be even, dare I say it, I don't want this to sound like, you know, an insult, but even Brandon Bean, because of all the trading up he's done, I put it that way, should accept that that's the move when you get to that point. If there's a standout defensive player where they think there is not a good option for them if they miss out on that player, then, well, that's when where we would end up in that scenario, where they would draft that edge rusher or draft that safety even, which I think is probably a long shot. But anyway, something like that could end up being what the Bills do if they think everybody from Worthy or McConkie down to Javon Baker is about the same value.
If they have similar grades on all those guys. Yeah, I mean, I think the scenario, I'm not against them doing that, by the way. I mean, I'm just not against them also being insane and trading a whole bunch of stuff to go up to the, you know, go up to nine with the Bears. The scenario, like, as you're watching this unfold, like, if for some reason the receivers, maybe the big three all go quickly, or Adunze comes out of the top 10, maybe that would be a good sign. For what you're talking about, is that if you get through, if Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't go in that middle section for whatever reason, the shoulder concern, yards per route run, or whatever it is, like if he starts dropping, and we're rolling through the middle here, and the sweet spot here with Indy, Seattle, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, like they're doing something else, and you're gonna get to your pick, and maybe the fourth receiver is still there. I mean, it could happen. I think it's a long shot, but it could happen. Then maybe, like, you could just jump on Brian Thomas Jr. there and feel like you're getting great value, unless you're scared of him, too, for any of the reasons I just mentioned. Then I think it's time to get out of there. Then I think it's absolutely, because, A, you're not already to receiver seven where you're sitting. So the scenario I described where that run early Friday happens maybe doesn't hurt you, especially if you trade back into the middle of that chunk somewhere in the high second round, ideally, and you're set up there then and you get paid for that. That's a scenario where I could see that happen. It might require you to pass on Brian Thomas Jr., but again, I can't tell you whether they like him or not. You know, he might not be their cup of tea at all for any number of reasons. But that's where you need, I think, where getting out of there starts to have merit if there, you know, there just hasn't been that many of those guys picked, and you're going to have a good shot at a guy if you wait until Friday. But I think, and I know the same logic could work if already six guys are gone by the time you're picking. But man, I'll get nervous then, because I'm going to get out of there and I'm going to leave Baltimore and I'm going to leave the Chiefs. I'm going to leave the 49ers and I'm going to leave anyone else behind me in round two that wants to come up and grab one. And I could be in tough by the time I get around to picking on Friday, if I'm, you know, really looking to fill a hole at receiver.
How badly is the fire going to rage if the Bills do take a non-receiver at 28. Does it matter if Thomas is available or Mitchell is? Does it matter if a certain guy is available? Like, I think for me, trading out of the first round and adding a day two pick is the best. Staying where they are and picking one of these good wide receivers to me is not like a big problem. I just don't think it's optimal. Trading up, you know, maybe when they traded up a little bit for Kincaid, you didn't hear me freak out. Like, that's just not a huge risk or investment, you know, in that way. Huge loss in the trade market, anything like that. If they forego receiver. They don't add a day two pick by a trade, and they pick an edge rusher. What do we sound like? Is it really that bad if they do that? I mean, of course, the Bills will defend it. And you can look at Von Miller, and you can look at just, you know, their losses in free agency, and even interior defensive line, but I would, whatever. Mm-hmm. Either one or the other. There would be an argument for it.
I don't think anyone's going to really want to hear it. There will be an argument for it. Sure. And like, you know, I can sit here and nod a lot. Yeah, I know. There's been so much poured into this. I mean, you know, we're some part responsible for that. I mean, we're talking about receivers every day here, like almost every segment of every show.
There are t-shirts
for months on end. So, you know, yeah, right. So, I think it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot if they were to do that. You know, it's not to say it can't work, but you're in that scenario, right? I'm not trading down. I'm picking, you know, the corner/safety from Iowa or something if he falls all the way down there, or an edge guy, like you're saying. Okay. Now I don't have another pick until 60, and that sweet spot in round two is going to be gone by the time I'm back at 60. Man, that could get really dicey. I think I'll be unnerved by it. I would say that much. I don't know, you know, it might depend on what the reaction is like. I mean, I don't know that I'll need to be starting fires. I think the fire will just be burning when we go on the air at 3 o'clock. If they draft Chop Robinson and don't pick again till 60, it'll be like, what are we doing with Josh Allen's prime? And I think that it will have a lot of merit. To me, that'll be a fair question.
I agree. I wonder what the head coach thinks. Is you think he's fully on board with replacing Stephon Diggs and Davis at this moment? Like how much urgency does McDermott feel for receiver? I can imagine being at this point, even though he's passed on other guys for some of these same defensive players we're talking about in the past. And you know, last year was pass catcher, but the obvious departures, the importance of those players. I don't know the answer to that. You and I battle a little bit on what we think, where we think McDermott is philosophically. Of course, whoever they pick, he will say that he was fully on board with it. You know, so we'll never know. But that's part of the reason I have this bet with you that they go defense first. Like maybe it's his turn a little bit after Kincaid. Whether the Diggs trade changed that, we also don't know that answer.
I think the Diggs trade should have changed it. If McDermott was not of the mind to you know pay much heed to the wide receiver train before the Diggs trade, that to me would have to be like, I better get a ticket for the wide receiver train. We need guys, plural, and certainly at least a guy, because we're you know they're in tough.
We'll look for your calls again after a break. Ryan Fowler, Sal Capaccio still to come today. The draft starts tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with you on WGR. Welcome back. The draft is almost here. Round one tonight, rounds two and three tomorrow night, 4 through 7 on Saturday. We will be simulcasting here, if that's still the word that works, again today with our jumping over on Facebook Live from 4 to 6. So that's coming up very soon. We'll talk to Ryan Fowler of Bleacher Report and then Sal Capaccio in the course of those 2 hours as well. Here, of course, you can still hear us here like you are doing now as well. Just won't see us.
Yeah, the radio still works when we're streaming on Facebook.
Yeah. Tim is next. Hello, Tim.
I hope.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, I'm really hoping they take a defensive game changer. I want a Bruce Smith. I want a destroyer. And Von Miller is going to come back awesome. I guarantee it because he's just that kind of a guy. We get him on one side and the other one. I want game closers. Not we already got a great quarterback and we got Shakir and we got good receivers. You know, pick up one another. 161, whatever. Whatever y'all think. I don't know. I want a defensive player.
Okay. Well, if you think Von Miller's going to bounce back, then there's your game wrecker and your closer. But I mean, I hope you're right about that. You're not finding that guy most likely at 28. I mean, you could find a quality player. Greg Rousseau was drafted around there a few years ago and is a good player. But I don't know that he meets the criteria you're describing. And, you know, you mentioned the name of one receiver, and he's not even the most accomplished receiver on the team, but they don't have much there. It's the guy, Shakir, and it's Curtis Samuel, and yeah, I'm looking around the room now. So
Matt Hollins.
I gotta get to work here. They don't have much there at all now with Diggs and Davis both gone.
No, right. I mean, maybe the guy is simply meaning that they have people on the team who play that position, but they would rank bottom five in the league. Aren't the guys who close games now in football usually offensive players? Anyway, like, who closed the Super Bowl? Who? Not every Super Bowl, I'm not saying that, but just... those are the quarterbacks now. Maybe the point is Josh Allen is that player, you know? And that's fair. I've certainly made arguments around that, too, thinking about, you know, defense, trading down this sort of vibe that you should be able to make it work with Allen anyway. Not, you can't just have the worst set of offensive personnel around him in the league, probably, but you don't have to either have the best. I think the Chiefs are some proof of that. So, as ever, these things could go either way. But, yeah, I like your Von Miller comeback, and I feel like these weapons are who are going to... I mean, we don't need to only think about the end of the game either as what matters. The whole game matters.
The whole game matters, and the Bills had two starting receivers on the outside the last 4 years on their team, and they are both gone now. So I know they need others. There are other things that hold appeal, but they created, I supported it. I did not want them to invest in Gabriel Davis. So that created one need, and then they decided that they could not live with Stephon Diggs anymore. Okay, get busy. To me, like... I don't think it's even that close that any other need on the team rivals the need at receiver. Their two starting outside receivers are gone. And they brought in a guy that has been mostly a gadget player in his career and last had more than 700 yards like 6 years ago. So, okay. I just can't imagine. I don't need to be arguing continuously against that guy or what. I don't think there's any competition for what the number one need on this team.
I like that we heard from somebody who wants defense, though, because it's been so one way.
Sure, yeah.
It's been so one way, in here anyway. Brian is next. Hello.
Yeah, guys. Just calling in. Appreciate taking my call. Calling in, I can't agree more. I probably will have a heart attack if they do pick a defensive player. I will admit that. But wide receiver, huge need, but I keep going back to the end of the season press conference where they're talking about stretching the field. Here we signed another guy that is an underneath wide receiver in Samuel. We already had that in Shakir. Kincaid's not anyone that stretches the field. Dawson Knox doesn't stretch the field. We do need that outside receiver. My mindset is that we trade up to 20 for Brian Thomas Jr., hopefully Mitchell comes to us. But I haven't heard you guys talk about this component. We're going to have compensatory picks coming back to us next year. And Bean always relies upon those picks to, he thinks about those as far as draft capital for trading up because the guy loves to trade up. I just think we need to factor in some of these compensatory picks that we're going to be receiving for, like, Gabe Davis, the linebacker, I forget his name, that signed with the Niners, but, maybe even Poyer, but we're going to get some compensatory picks that are going to come back our way. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I don't know how much I want to bank on that. I think it's right to include it in the analysis.
We banked on it last year when Tremaine Edmonds left, and we didn't get what we thought they were going to get, or the Bills didn't get what they thought they were going to get. I mean, they would have more knowledge of it than us even. I mean, those are assets. I don't know. Like, Morse was released and then signed. I don't think that counts. Like, if a guy's contract is up and he leaves, that you know, and it meets a certain threshold, then that's how the formula works. I don't know if you release a guy who's under contract and then he signs that you get anything for
that. Did he say Morse? I didn't hear.
No, I don't think he did. I'm just trying to get, like, who left the team.
Well, he said Floyd Davis and
right.
One more, which I think was right.
Yeah, the linebacker that went
Floyd.
That's Floyd. That okay. How big a deal was that? I don't know. Sure, they'll get something. And is the suggestion that buffers giving up assets for next year because I'm going to replenish? Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm anything that helps you sleep at night with them trading up, I guess I have to endorse.
We'll be back with more Ryan Fowler of Bleacher Report, and you can check us out on the WGR Facebook page, Facebook Live, as well as we start next hour, 4 to 6 today on Facebook. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, round one of the NFL draft tonight here on WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.